This news story was written by Tova Martin. How to turn your garden into a buffet for pollinators. Most gardeners don't think of themselves as owners of a fast food diner, but that's exactly what they are. Incidentally or intentionally, they run a fly or crawl-in restaurant, with clientele apt to have wings, or a whole lot of legs, and antennae. Customers spend their days or nights cruising around and perusing the menu. As climate change, habitat loss, and a lack of food and water sources have threatened many pollinators in recent years, creating gardens to attract them has become not just a hobby, but a necessity. We still have much to learn about insect and bird behavior, and how our gardens can impact their survival, lifespan, and breeding habits. One point, though, is universally agreed upon: we can help. The first step is to think like a pollinator when choosing flowers, shrubs, trees, and grasses. Putting pollinators first might mean steering away from collecting exotic varieties from other parts of the world. If you fill your garden with plants that are not native, early foraging pollinators might not be benefiting, says Stephanie Frischi, a native plant materials specialist at the Xerces Society, an organization focusing on the conservation of invertebrates. She suggests opting for spring bloomers such as Golden Alexander, Zizia aurea, and wild geranium, Geranium maculatum, to provide early season food for native bees. Adding the often overlooked ephemeral Virginia spring beauty, Claytonia virginica, can help sustain early foraging specialist minor bees that feed exclusively on its pollen. Frischi also suggests planting early blooming shrubs and trees, such as wild plum, Prunus americana, and redbud, Cercus canadensis, both of which are critical food sources for hungry insects. Beware of altered varieties of preferred plants. Changes could flummox pollinators, Frischi says, especially when the pollen and nectar sources are difficult to access. Double flowers are particularly problematic if the stamens are reduced in size or they block access to the flower's sexual parts. Sam Hoagley, manager of horticultural research at MT Cuba Center in Delaware, has found in pollinator trials that stark differences occur when the flower structure is changed, such as the pom-pom-type echinacea flowers and mophead hydrangea inflorescences. These showy displays are of little value to pollinators. How a plant holds its flowers also matters. Plant hybridizers frequently strive to create forward or skyward-angled blooms to allow us to better see the goods, but pollinators that service downward-facing, nodding flowers have adapted ways to make that work and may struggle with the changes. It's unclear whether alterations in flower color affect pollinators. Insects perceive ultraviolet light, so their perception of color varies from what we see. Bees, for example, are most attracted to blue and purple flowers, so it is possible that changing the bloom color of Anis hyssop, Agastache viniculum, diminishes the plant's interest for them. Moths and night-flying insects can be baffled when a luminous white or yellow flower is bred to be a less visible, darker color, such as flowering tobacco hybrids, Nicotiana alate, in deep plum rather than a cream shade. Insects are more likely to see a pattern than color, says Frischi. The most important thing for their purposes is the nectar guides, lines, and a dark center that mark a flower and are specifically adapted to guide pollinators. For example, insects see a halo around the center of many members of the daisy family. Altering that bull's eye with the additional petals of double flowers could befuddle a pollinator. Masking or altering a flower's fragrance can also create problems. So, for example, make sure to choose fragrant cultivars of dianthus or sweet pea. Andrew Brand, a founding member of the Connecticut Butterfly Association and the director of horticulture at Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, emphasizes the need for variety when choosing plants. It's important to provide flowers all season, from the first columbines of spring until the last goldenrods. To fill in any gaps during the growing season, he says, plant supplemental annuals as well as perennials. Going for generous quantities is also a good plan. A big patch of flowers will make an insect's workday more efficient. Also consider insects' child-rearing needs. Make sure you are providing habitat for the insect's complete life cycle, Brand says, including host plants where insects can lay eggs. Pearl crescent butterflies only lay eggs on asters, he says. Hollow and pithy-stemmed plants such as Joe Pye weed, bee balm, mountain mint, swamp milkweed, and elderberry are also ideal for eggs and young insects. And many insects overwinter or lay eggs in leaf litter, so leave fallen debris in place as much as possible. Also suppress the urge to squish caterpillars nibbling on foliage. Those leaf-chewing larvae are an essential part of the pollination process, and it's not in an insect's best interests to totally obliterate their hosts, so the damage shouldn't be catastrophic. Birds also serve as pollinators. It's well known that hummingbirds love red and bright tubular flowers, but nectar is not their sole food source. According to Glenn Somogy, land manager and youth program coordinator at Bent of the River Audubon Center in Connecticut, hummingbirds also forage on bugs as they hover, waiting to pollinate. They also frequent flowers in other colors. Choose plants such as columbines, Aquilegia canadensis, that bloom early in spring when weary hummingbirds return from their winter migration. And include autumn bloomers, such as native honeysuckles, Lonicera sempervirens, cardinal flower, Lobelia cardinalis, and great Lobelia, Lobelia syphilitica, to provide the sugary feast they need to fuel their long flight south for the winter. Seeing the garden from a hummingbird's or an insect's perspective requires a change in mindset, but it could make a substantial impact at a critical moment. Pollinators need all the assistance we can offer, and we are just beginning to explore and confirm gardening practices that help. It's a new way of thinking. Tova Martin is a gardener and freelance writer in Connecticut. Find her online at tovahmartin.com.